The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, before you get into the show, which I know you're super excited to hear because every fucking show of Thinking Outside the Long Box is amazing, we want to thank our Patreon supporters, Chad, Ryan, Derek, Doyle, Devin, Taylor, Jason, Steve, and now Christine. Thank you so much for being a part of this show by donating to us on Patreon. If you too would like to support this show and keep it going every other week after every other week, then you can go to patreon.com/TOTLB where you can get your choice of all sorts of cool bonus videos and awesome prizes like hats and t-shirts, original sketches. I don't know if you guys follow Tim Husky's artwork on Instagram, but one of those original sketches got colored and it was fucking amazing. So join us today at patreon.com/TOTLB. And to those of you who are already subscribed, thank you so much. We appreciate you more than our own assholes.
Hey everybody, this is Doyle and I have Tim on the line here. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Shooting the Shit, where we discuss the Star Wars and Harry Potter franchises. Han Solo's new film hits theaters this weekend and Fantastic Beasts 2 comes out in November, both of the 10th films in the franchise, so we thought we'd go ahead and discuss those a little bit. Tim's a pretty big fangirl for both, so...
Accepted at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry.
I want to come with you to Alderaan. There's nothing for me here now. I want to learn the ways of the Force and become a Jedi like my father.
No. I am your father.
The boy who lived come to die.
Don't move! Don't forget, we're still playing.
Is the dark side stronger?
If he could be turned, he would become a powerful ally.
Harry Potter is dead. From this day forth, you put your faith in me.
Albus Dumbledore is the greatest sorcerer in the world.
He told me you killed him.
And who might you be, young man?
Neville Longbottom.
Well, Neville, I'm sure we can find a place for you in our ranks.
I'd like to say something.
Well, Neville, I'm sure we'd all be fascinated to hear what you have to say.
Doesn't matter that Harry's gone. People die every day. Friends. Family. Yeah. We lost Harry tonight. He's still with us. In here. Fred, Remus, Tonks, all of them. They didn't die in vain. But you will, because you're wrong. Harry's heart did beat for us, for all of us. It's not over.
All right, so in this episode, we're going to discuss Star Wars versus Harry Potter. I guess the early word on the Solo movies that it's not the dumpster fire everyone was expecting it to be. I guess it's got, what, like a 70% on Rotten Tomatoes?
And yeah.
People seem to have the same general opinion of it as they did Last Jedi. Like, it's not perfect, but it's still entertaining, which I guess is a good thing.
I don't know. I saw split decisions on Last Jedi. Last Jedi was, like, people hated it or they liked it. This movie, I just saw everyone kind of like, it's pretty good.
Right.
I didn't see a lot of people going like fuck this movie.
No, I didn't see a lot.
But I did see that with The Last Jedi.
Yeah, well, yeah. All right, so maybe I'm
people
wrong.
Like fuck this movie.
It's mixed or opinions not Vader, in a different
Skywalker. This is not my Skywalker.
Mixed opinions in a different way. Everybody seems to be generally entertained, but yeah. I don't know.
On an off-topic note, Star Wars versus Harry Potter would be a kick-ass video game. I think.
Oh my god, there's a really badass YouTube video that will get linked with this when it comes out, I think, because it's amazing. It's like a fan-made video of, like, one guy has a lightsaber and the other guy has, like, a Harry Potter wand, and they're, like, fighting each other, and they, like, added in all these, like, effects. Pretty legit.
That sounds pretty dope.
All right, Doyle. So
seeing how you haven't seen Solo, right, yet?
Not yet, no.
Which one are you more excited to see of the two movies?
So you're saying Solo versus the second Fantastic Beasts?
Yeah, yeah.
I think I'm more excited for the next Fantastic Beasts, and it's only because, like, the general understanding of Han Solo is kind of known to me because I'm that level of nerd. Like, I know that he was once an Imperial pilot. I know that he wins the Millennium Falcon from a card game. Now, granted, this is like the Disney version now, so it's probably going to have a way different ending, but somehow still fit into the canon. But I think what has me more excited for Fantastic Beasts 2 is finally seeing, like, a young gay Dumbledore. Like, you don't really ever know anything about his, like, childhood or his upbringing in the Harry Potter books, except for, like, a couple of paragraphs and a few chapters where he talked about how he, like, knew a bunch of really evil people before they went super evil. So
Dumbledore and gobbling their fire. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, I guess at one point in the books, it talks about how he, yeah, right? The gobble, blah, 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 blah. So I've got some comparisons if you want to talk about them.
I think that there's quite a bit of comparisons between the two movies. Like,
so one of my favorites so far is obviously the main comparison, Harry Potter versus Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
Both happen to have this, like, random power in them. Both of them, their parents are dead.
Yeah.
At least by the time we meet them. And they're like the poster child good guys. But who do you think would win in a fight?
Yeah, true. Fictionally? I think Harry Potter wins.
Let's say
in real life, I think Mark Hamill takes him out.
Right? Mark Hamill just beats the shit out of Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah. I think that's how it can go down in real life.
Right, right. The whole time he's laughing like the Joker. It's amazing. The next comparison would be like the best friend, right? So for Harry Potter, I have Ron Weasley. But then for Luke, I'm torn between like the droids or Han Solo. So is that like...
I mean, if the droids are his best friend, he's not very good to his best friends.
Right, yeah. One of them gets literally like blown apart. What was that? Episode 6, 7? 7? When they end up at Cloud City and C-3PO is like blasted apart into pieces.
R2-D2, I'm pretty sure, gets blown apart at one point also when he's on the X-Wing. Yeah, he at least gets shot.
Yeah, he gets like the shit shocked out of him and all of his little compartments open up. I think that's also episode 8 or 9.
I don't know why they numbered so dumb.
Is George Lucas started the...
You said you have a nerdy background. I've never heard why. Is there a reason why Lucas started with naming it number 6?
Supposedly it's because he knew he wanted to do prequels. There's a lot of like rumor and like jive about it. Like, I think originally it was just to like raise a lot of suspicion to see if people would come out to see it. Because I know the studio that produced it originally hated it. They wanted him to just call it Star Wars.
Which I would also think makes sense.
Right?
Like, it's number 4, too, not number 6. It takes a lot of balls, I guess. So your first like big movie,
right?
Fucking breaking ground on the way you're shooting it. And you're like, fuck it. You're calling it number 4. There will be prequels.
Right? And it'll keep people on the hook.
It's an interesting way to go about it.
Right? Well, I mean, I guess J.K. Rowling had like a similar thing. I guess she didn't originally intend to write a whole series of books because she wrote Harry Potter number 1, basically, on like a train, I think.
She didn't call it Harry Potter number 4, though.
I know, right?
That was like, you're gonna fucking love this, and then I'm going to give you 3 more. You're not going to like those so much. Who's going to buy it? And then we're going to give you some more.
I'm going to care called Jar Jar Binks, and you're going to love them.
Who's the Jar Jar Binks of the Harry Potter universe?
The Jar Jar Binks of the Harry Potter universe. It's got to be a character that's like annoying that everyone hates. Maybe Professor Umbridge. Maybe Malfoy. I'm saying Umbridge just because everybody universally hated her. But if we're going for like the still somewhat necessary Malfoy, because everybody kind of hated him. He's just an annoying little shit.
Oh, man. I don't think there's really like there's not really a Jar Jar in that universe.
Right?
Not universally. Some people liked Malfoy.
All right, so the next comparison I had was Dumbledore and Obi-Wan Kenobi, the mentors.
Yeah, that's a pretty obvious one.
Like, super powerful.
They're both old.
Killed at one time to save people, kind of regretting that. Both kooky old men.
So, I mean, like, the comparisons are so... They go way past this, too. I've read a bunch of, like, internet thoughts on it as well.
Right.
Like, down to, like, you know... I think that a lot of people compared Obi-Wan to Hagrid, though, who introduced them to the magic. But I can see Dumbledore also. They're both old and wizard-like. But one's actually a wizard.
Yeah. I think both have been played by at least two actors by now, too. So there's a little, like, out-of-universe comparison as well. Because Obi-Wan was Ewan and... I don't remember the old guy's name without IMDb in it. So, or something.
Awkward thought. Oh, do you think that there's any potential chance that she ripped off the storyline at all?
I could.
There are so many comparisons. I mean, like, dead parents living with the aunt and uncle don't really like where they're living. You know, Harry Potter, obviously, a little bit more shitty of being raised than Luke, but Luke still didn't.
Hated where he was at. Like, the longer we go down this comparison, you can see that, like, maybe she was a closet Star Wars fan and just rewrote Star Wars for a way younger generation.
And just kept, like, I mean, like, Luke should have been trained a lot younger, so she just, like...
Right.
That's what should have happened, so that's what Harry's going to get.
You replace, like, a Jedi with Hogwarts Castle.
Yeah. And you get, like, the one central bad guy. Somehow there's, like, one bad guy who's badder than all the good guys put together.
Right.
Even though all the good guys are, like, dope as fuck.
Right. Like, you got... Voldemort and the Emperor, and then you have like the sub evils like Vader and Snape, where they're both like Snape is definitely a good guy at the end, but you also kind of realize that Anakin kind of re-becomes Anakin just before he dies, but you're both led to believe that they're like assholes the whole time.
Yeah, I don't know if you can ever become a good guy again, though, once you kill a bunch of Jedi children.
Yeah, you're still like a...
You're still pretty much a dick.
Yeah, right?
A moment of goodness at the...
That's the repent. You still don't make it to heaven after that. Not after killing, like, thousands of people.
I know, dude. Like, his ghost just chills with, like, the other ghosts. Like, so... You know, in, like, the remake or whatever, when they show his ghost at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
The ghost just chilling, like, none of the other ghosts aren't just like, you know, fucker, you killed all the Jedi children.
Right? Like,
even the British.
Like, I hated that scene even at a younger age because I'm like, wait, why is he in, like, Jedi heaven? He's, like, a total asshole. He, like, murdered a lot of other Jedi ghosts that would be hanging around in there.
Dude, just kids, like, little kids.
Yeah, like, younglings. Yeah, well, then when Lucas did that, like, special effects, like, remake, where they put in, like, Hayden Christensen as the Force Ghost. Yeah. They took out the old guy that I don't know, because I think that was, like, literally his only part. They're like,
all right. Sounds like James Earl Jones, voice bad enough to be Vader. Still not the right time for a black guy to be Vader, though.
So... There's these, and they exist. I'm not sure where you can find them. Probably in the ethers of YouTube. But there's the guy that actually is doing the body work for Vader. He's doing the speaking lines while they're recording the scenes. And then they dubbed James Earl Jones over him. And it's like this, like, squirrely sounding white dude. So, like, if you watch, like, the filmed post edit of, like, his entry scenes, like, you are part of a rebel alliance and a traitor. And then you bring in James Earl Jones, like, you are part of a rebel. And it just sounds so much better. It's just hilarious to watch some of those originally filmed scenes with, like, this horrible, horrible voice coming out of the helmet.
Did they intend to have that be, like, his voice and then just heard it afterwards? And I was like, eh.
It wouldn't surprise me. Because I don't think anyone had really done anything like that at the time where they like voiced over a live actor.
Okay, so away from the movies, I mean, both movies.
I'd say both franchises.
So the original Star Wars.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, good.
I'd say both franchises.
A New Hope came out before books. You think so?
Yeah. I think so. I think strong arguments can be made for both, because the only real problem is that there really isn't like a bad Harry Potter film, at least for me. And I think I think it's generally accepted that like all the Harry Potter movies actually get better as they go on. Because like the first Harry Potter film is kind of a rough watch, but it's mostly because they're like super young child actors that suck. They haven't really got their chops yet, and the visual effects are just kind of okay. But then there's like definitely progression throughout the film series where Star Wars.
It's still a good movie though. You know what I'm saying? Like
there's still
I watched it not that long ago, and I didn't hate it at all.
No, me neither.
But yeah, it's definitely the weakest of the movies. But
right,
like, but by the time even they got to Chamber of Secrets, I thought like that was a pretty good movie.
Right, like Chamber of Secrets is amazing. All right, so we'll do this then. We'll just pick favorite films
out of Azkaban. I honestly think without taking nostalgia into it and without taking the groundbreaking nature that Star Wars had on the culture,
yeah,
I think that it's pretty. Actually, clear cut win for the Potter films.
This is true.
That's like me personally. Like I think that those things have to be taken into account with Star Wars.
This is true.
The fact that like broke the mold.
Without Star Wars, you probably wouldn't have Harry Potter, or at least you wouldn't have it as it exists right now. Because I think
you wouldn't have a lot of shit. So yeah.
Because I think Industrial Light and Magic has a production credit on Harry Potter, so you would literally not have Harry Potter as it exists right now without it, which Lucas invented for Star Wars. So,
second, how long before Disney owns the Potterverse? It can't be long.
I think Warner Brothers has Harry Potter, right?
Warner Brothers.
The WB's like part of the whole intro to every movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So, favorite film from both.
So as far as favorite Potter movies go, it's The Prisoner of Azkaban, I believe. The Goblet of Fire is real close, though, but it's The Prisoner of Azkaban. And then if you take any of the nostalgia away I have for the first three Star Wars films, because it's pretty hard, like, the nostalgia is for real.
Right,
I watched those movies a billion times when I was a kid, but as far as, like, the best movie goes, I think it's Rogue One. I, like, really loved Rogue One.
I'm going to agree with you there. That's going to be my Star Wars pick. Very
complete movie.
Like, start to finish, Rogue One, like, just did not let down. And I like that, like, it was the first, like, side story of all, like, the Star Wars cinema. And it just came out of nowhere. Like, as soon as the movie starts, you know it's not, like, a Star Wars proper film. And I like that because I was like, where's the scrolling text? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'd say for Harry Potter, I'd say my favorite movie is probably Order of the Phoenix, mostly because the duel at the end of the film is totally worth waiting for when you finally see Voldemort and Dumbledore beat the shit out of each other. Like the visual effects and that, like the visual effects in that fight scene are amazing. And then like the incredibly emotional part when Sirius Black dies.
Yeah, that was rough. I agree.
Because at that point when I saw that film, I hadn't read any of the books yet. Like, I've only just recently gotten around to, like, wrapping up the novels for Harry Potter. And I just remember, like, being like, wait, he dies? Fuck!
Yeah.
Gary Oldman was so fucking cool! Now he's dead.
And, like, so the one thing that I think Harry Potter's gotten right, too, and Star Wars, in my opinion, has never gotten right, is that when a character dies in Harry Potter...
they stay dead.
I feel like it hurts, too. It's, like, emotional. In Star Wars, everyone who dies, it seems like, why did they die right there?
Right.
It's like Obi-Wan just, like, lets himself be killed. And we know why.
Yeah.
But with just the context of that first movie, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right.
And then
later, like, the way Qui-Gon...
Qui-Gon's, like, death. Badass blocking shots, like, from 3 inches away, but can't see Darth Maul flying 10 feet up in the air, flipping over him, turning on his lightsaber, and then cutting him. And I can't block that.
Right.
That just made no sense to me. It was like such a random. Right? I don't know. I didn't like that death.
I think his death could have been a little better. And then
most dies in Star Wars. There's not a lot of deaths in Star Wars that like hit me emotionally. Han Solo, guess, you could see that coming from a mile away.
Oh my god! Yeah, that was so telegraphed.
You're like,
and then what got me terrible
too. But
what got me about Force Awakens is I thought Chewie was gonna die. Because he just kept taking shots throughout that movie.
Yeah.
I was like, they're foreshadowing the fuck out of this. And then he managed to pull it through. I was like, all right.
Beast that he was.
Right? Or like Luke Skywalker when he dies in this last film. I hated that. I hated that so much. Because there was like.
Yeah, just meant nothing. You know what I mean?
There was no pretense as to why he would die. Like, he didn't look sick. He never says anything's really wrong with him other than he's just an old man. And then he just
takes that much willpower. But yeah, but also it just meant nothing. He really accomplished almost nothing.
Yeah.
Like, the little, like, red scooters that tear up the sand and go after the walkers.
Yeah.
Like, those could have also been a big enough distraction, honestly.
Yeah.
Him projecting himself by, like, an extra 30 seconds. I don't get it.
Right, yeah.
Like, Star Wars, to me, just, like, fails to give their characters deaths meaning. But, I mean, like, I still love the movies, obviously. Still gonna go watch a Solo.
Like, oh, my God. Like, you know whose death in Star Wars would, like, crush, like, just utterly crush the fan base? As if they kill, like, R2-D2. Like, if he just gets, like...
It has to mean something, you know what I mean?
True. Like,
do something worthwhile.
Yeah, like, R2 sacrifices himself and gets the shit blown out of him. Like, nobody's going to walk out of that theater with a straight face not crying.
If R2 saved 3PO and died, you know, that would be brutal.
So I guess
felt like there was more honesty in, like, Harry Potter characters that didn't die, that just got hurt.
Right.
Like, when Ron gets, like, pinched.
Right.
That was more emotional than most Star Wars deaths.
Yeah, and that seems like surprisingly graphic in the movie too. But I think it's, if we're gonna say who has the most dramatic death, it's gotta be Snape. Like, holy shit. Even I started getting misty, especially when Harry Potter goes to the Poncier and pours his tear in there and he like witnesses the story that is Severus Snape, and you're like, oh my god. So emotional.
Harry's death is pretty emotional too, even though it's kind of like he comes back.
Yeah, he sacrificed himself.
But his, like, parents, you know, being there, like, they'll be with him until the end. It's pretty emotional.
Right. Yeah, we should probably get to it. Because both series are so good. We could honestly do, like, a full actual TOTLB episode on this, but we can't.
Yeah.
They're both pretty tied, I would say.
Film franchise that competes, you think?
The only film franchise I think that could even come close is maybe Lord of the Rings. But that's when you start breaking into the uber nerds that either love or hate. Like, Lord of the Rings has no gray area. Because some people just such diehard fans of the novels and hated the movies. I mean, even like the Tolkien family hated what that director did with the film franchise. Supposedly that's why they wouldn't give him the rights to the Silmarillion. However the hell you pronounce the book. But yeah. So we'll give Star Wars a leg up because they originated pretty much this whole thing, visual effects wise and storytelling and episodes.
I can give them that.
For the movie side. But we'll have to give it to Harry Potter because they started with novels and all the books are amazing.
There are definitely a lot of good Star Wars books too. There's just so many that are not good.
Right.
Like, the original Han Solo trilogy, I think it's like in, how was it, like in 1979, maybe?
That's when you find out about his first wife, right?
I don't even remember. It's been a long time. You have, like, Han Solo at Star's End and, like, Revenge and Lost Legacy. I think so. I mean, they're not canon anymore. The Krillian trilogy is way after that. I don't know. It's been a long time since I read those books.
Right.
But there's some good, speaking of the Solo film that came out, there's like three different Han Solo's trilogy series that are all decent. I'm not going to say they're as good as the Harry Potter books, but they're all decent. All
right,
but yeah, so you're giving the one up to Star Wars. I gave the one up to Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So we're in disagreement.
In their respective categories, you know, sure. Harry Potter started off as books. Star Wars started off as movies.
One last question.
Do it.
Would you rather be a Jedi or a wizard?
Aren't they both one and the same? We just have wizards in space. I think ultimately, I would prefer
the Jedi seems more personally powerful.
Right?
Like he definitely seems like a Jedi could kick the shit out of a wizard in a one-on-one fight, but a wizard could do way more shit given like preparation time and stuff.
Right? Like Jedi seem to have like more like elemental and telekinetic control, where wizards can literally like summon animals and creatures and all kinds of crazy shit.
I don't know. If you go up that fight with like Dumbledore and shit, Dumbledore seems like he could beat the shit out of a Jedi.
Yeah. So I think I'd have to go with Wizard, but I would still want a lightsaber just because they're awesome.
Yeah. Like, I think that's where I fall too.
Like, lightsaber is hands down one of the coolest weapons like made in a movie.
Yeah. This is a way longer wand. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
So I guess we'll close it out.
All right, people. Again, this has been Doyle and Tim shooting the shit, basically just talking about nonsense. But the Harry Potter and the Star Wars film franchises. This has been a TOTLB production. You can find Thinking Outside the Long Box on Facebook, Instagram, Twitters, wherever you want to go online. We're there. You can buy some cool shit from the shop. And
check out all the sweet S-Glass works.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Juan's trying to fully stock your kitchen with our shit. So
really.
We appreciate your time. And join us again in 2 weeks, I think.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Baron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Baron Space production.